You could be right and I could be wrong. We could just fight or we could be strong. You could be right and I could be wrong. We could just fight or we could.
This is Bridge the Gap with Mark and Dave, the program that seeks for the truth no matter where it is found. I'm Mark.
And I'm David.
The first time I ever heard that song was when the primary chorister stood up and started putting flashcards in front of the class trying to teach the primary students that song. When the words started coming up, it just struck me as true. Then we started singing the song together, and I was trying not to cry because the truthfulness of that song just struck me so powerfully, because it's talking about the estates and what we did before we came to the earth. We chose Christ in the premortal state. That was in our first estate. And we will choose him again.
David, do you want to read the scripture about estates?
Let's do it.
Let's go into Abraham chapter 3, verse 22. So go ahead and read that for us.
Now the Lord had shown unto me, Abraham, the intelligences that were organized before the world was. And among all these, there were many of the noble and great ones.
When it said right there, now the Lord, which member of the Godhead is that? Let's put that on the shelf for a minute. Had shown unto me Abraham the intelligences that were organized. When were they organized? And then it goes on to say, before the world was, and among all these, there were many of the noble and great ones. Who were the noble and great ones, and how did they become noble and great? Read verse 23 now.
And God saw these souls, that they were good, and he stood in the midst of them, and he said, these I will make my rulers. For he stood among those that were spirits, and he saw that they were good. And he said unto me, Abraham, thou art one of them. Thou wast chosen before thou wast born.
Which member of the Godhead saw these souls, that they were good? We'll just skip on down to Abraham. This God that was speaking told Abraham that he was chosen before he was born. What was he chosen for?
He was chosen to be part of God's family, and specifically a prophet.
He was chosen for something for sure. Verse 24, go ahead with that.
And there stood one among them that was like unto God, and he said unto those who were with him, we will go down, for there is a space there, and we will take of these materials, and we will make an earth whereon these may dwell.
Okay, in verse 24 it says, there stood one among them that was like unto God. Which member of the Godhead is that? And he said unto those who were with him, we will go down, for there is space there, and we will take of these materials, and we will make an earth whereon these may dwell. This is all happening before the physical creation, in a spiritual realm. Imagine that for a minute. These are foundational doctrines that need to be understood before we can talk about rooftop doctrines. So for now, until we understand all of this, we need to take rooftop doctrines and put them on a shelf.
What are rooftop doctrines?
They're capstone doctrines. They're the ones that are mysterious that we're so interested in learning all about.
Like the deep, people say deep doctrine or whatever.
Yeah. I'm calling them rooftop doctrines because you can't really understand them until you have enough of a foundation to be able to start working on the rooftop doctrines.
They can ring true, but maybe not a full understanding.
Yeah, it's harder to understand them until you have enough of the foundational understanding to build on. Mm-hmm. It's just something I came up with, not neither here nor there, but it just seems to make sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and read verse 25.
and we will prove them herewith, to see if they will do all things whatsoever the Lord God shall command them.
And they who keep their first estate shall be added upon. Do you know what the first estate is? This is where we're getting into the foundational doctrine about first and second estates.
Is it the state we had before we came to this world?
Yeah, we're taught.
Like who we were before we came to this world?
Yeah, we're taught in simple terms that if we keep our first estate, we are given an opportunity to participate in our second estate. They who keep their second estate shall have glory added upon their heads forever and ever. So
this is our second estate.
That's right.
We already kept our first estate if we're here with the body.
That is correct. Yes. Those who did not keep their first estate were denied a physical body during the first estate dissension from the celestial realm. In the beginning of a celestial cycle, we condescend to a lower level that's terrestrial, and we start to do things in a terrestrial spiritual realm, and then we descend further into a telestial realm and then do things there that are primarily physical in nature, but there are telestial beings who are denied physical bodies who are spiritual beings in the telestial realm. And then as we continue this cycle, we start to go back from the telestial realm into a terrestrial cycle. And if we complete that, we'll go back in a celestial cycle. It's like jumping on a merry-go-round while it's still spinning. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
It's just the higher, well, we can talk about that more in a minute, but I'm getting ahead of myself. So let's go ahead and read 26.
And they who keep their first estate shall be added upon, and they who keep not their first estate shall not have glory in the same kingdom with those who keep their first estate. And they who keep their second estate shall have glory added upon their heads forever and ever.
Thank you. And that, in a nutshell, is the best place that I can find in the standard works that explains to us what the estates are. The first and second estate is being mentioned here. There are other estates as well, but they're rooftop doctrines. We have to get out of the second estate. As we've talked about in a previous podcast, how do we do that? Those who are in the second estate are being hurt by spiritual death until we escape or overcome our second estate. It's all about overcoming the natural man. It's all about escaping the telestial world cycle. And until we overcome that, we're eternally being churned, just like what we see in the Book of Mormon. The bride cycle seems to repeat itself over and over again. I heard a lady say in a Sunday school class a few years ago when we were talking about the bride cycle, when she understood it, she got frustrated and said, well, how do we ever get out of it? The Book of Mormon just keeps repeating the bride cycle over and over again for the entire 1,000-year history. And the answer to that is because that is an example of a telestial world cycle. And until you escape the telestial world, you will be stuck in a never-ending pride cycle. There is a way out by overcoming the natural man. And those who do escape that will start to ascend back to their Father in heaven.
And what's your definition of overcoming the natural man?
It's what we're here to figure out. Because until we do, as I keep saying, we're trapped here. But once we figure that out, we can escape this telestial world. We can make it through the gate that is guarded by Jesus Christ. And he employs no servant there. He personally takes us through that gate. He's the only one that made it, and we have to follow him. That's how you get out, in a nutshell. Verse 27.
And the Lord said, whom shall I send? And one answered like unto the Son of Man, here I am, send me. And another answered and said, here am I, send me. And the Lord said, I will send the first. Oh my goodness.
Ask yourself.
Yeah, for the first time.
The Lord, which member of the Godhead said that?
Christ. speaking to the Holy Ghost.
Whom shall I send? And one answered, like unto the Son of Man. Which member of the Godhead is that? Here I am, send me. And another answered and said, here I am, send me. Who is that?
Satan.
And the Lord said, I will send the first. Which member of the Godhead said that? And the second was angry and kept not his first estate. And at that day, many followed after him. When did that happen? Do you think it happened in a celestial state or a terrestrial state? It stands to reason that this war that is happening is not happening in the celestial world. It's happening in the beginning of a terrestrial cycle. People descending from a celestial realm into a terrestrial realm and starting to debate about ideas and picking sides. And some kept their first estate, while others did not keep their first estate and were sent into the telestial state without a body. And then after that, Adam was born into the telestial state. And then the children of Adam began to multiply and replenish the earth with physical bodies in the telestial state, where other telestial spirits were already in the telestial world state. It's an additional fall from the celestial world state. It's not talked a lot about. But then again, we're truth seekers. What is the truth? We're reading from the Pearl of Great Price. This is not me. This is the words from the Pearl of Great Price.
Well, what's interesting is it's the words from the Pearl of Great Price, but then a lot that you're adding from what you've learned, what you feel the Holy Ghost has taught you, all that, right? Like,
this is true. Yeah, I'm giving my narrative
right
as I read the words.
Right.
So for now, let's just put all of this on the shelf. The things that we're talking about here are higher doctrines. They're above mortals' way of thinking, and I don't even begin to understand the ways of God. One small component of that, I think's like having to jump on a merry-go-round while it's still spinning. Because there's no beginning. There's no convenient place to start. There's no final culminating event where everything comes to a stop and ends. It's eternal. It's always cycling. This is the realm where the gods exist. And we have to start thinking like that in order to comprehend what they're trying to do for us. And we can't think of beginning and ending. We just think that every ending is a new beginning. Got to start somewhere. Just jump into it. But it's all cyclical. Just something to think about.
Well, that answers a question that I've had as we've talked about this. And that question was, why is this stuff important? Like, why is learning about this stuff even necessary or whatever? But you just answered it, because it's the way of thinking. It's the way of seeing things. It's learning to see things as they really are, not as we just see them in this mortal matrix experience.
And the biggest...
Or non-matrix. Or no, this is the matrix. Yeah, matrix experience.
Okay. Well, and I think the biggest answer to why is because if we don't figure it out, we're not going to escape this telestial world cycle.
See, I don't think, in my opinion, I don't think a deep understanding of all this stuff is absolutely necessary to escape it.
Okay.
I think maybe it's kind of one route.
Yeah.
But no, it's not even a route, because you can have the best understanding ever and you still won't escape it.
Actually,
there's another component that it's the purity. It's the just, you know, it's like the brother of Jared, right? Like, his faith was so powerful, he escaped it. Done.
Actually, you bring up a very valid and good point. You don't need to understand it to escape it, but you do need to have faith in someone who does. And then you need to submit to what they're telling you to do and learn
line upon line, precept upon precept, acting in faith that there is somebody that loves and cares about you and has your best interest in mind to help you get out. But if you think that you know more than that higher being, you're not going to escape. That's the pride cycle. That's what keeps us trapped here. Lack of faith. Lack of willingness to submit to a higher intelligence. I think.
Mm-hmm.
That's it for this episode of Bridge the Gap.
Truth seekers,